Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Right now he's sore, and he's obviously it's gonna take maybe 2 weeks at least for me to get back and amount, hopefully, you know. And we're not sure what's going on until we get an MRI tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, that's so unfortunate. Oh, my God. He was just competing. He was competing, and it happened. He did a tremendous job. If we had scored, he was going back out. If we don't score, he wasn't. That was it.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Cubs end up winning a game in the 10th inning yesterday in Washington, 10-3 over the Nationals. But they end up losing their closer, Pedro Strop, to an apparent hamstring injury. We don't know the extent of it. You heard Stropey there telling you the MRI, and you heard Joe explaining what the thinking was on that play.
Did you hear Stropey also say 2 weeks at least?
Yes.
So we're sitting here reducing it to 2 weeks because that's the best case scenario.
But let's be realistic
here. I mean, it's a hamstring injury. You don't know. And after a guy who's been really dependable for you, 11 out of 13 saves since Brandon Morrow went down, and you have 2 weeks away from action, how long does it take for him to get back into the groove? How much can you rely upon him? And now you're facing the possibility that you're going to go into the postseason without Brandon Morrow, who is yet to return, and you don't know what you're going to get when you get back, when he comes back, and Pedro Strop. Bad day in Washington, D.C. You definitely won the game. You put Javi Baez back in the MVP race, but you can't have felt anything but a little deflated flying back if you're the Cubs.
Yeah, and you heard Joe explain that if we don't score, he wasn't coming back in. That was it, but they did score. So they had the lead, and they wanted their closer to remain in the game, and the only way to do that was to let him bat because the bases were loaded at that point. And again, I think you almost have to instruct him to just leave that bat on your shoulder. I understand
bases loaded, one out.
Yes, and I understand that he doesn't believe that Joe doesn't have a ton of faith in the options he had out in the bullpen. You know, one of which was Tyler Chatwood, one of which was. Alex Mills.
No.
Who else is out there?
The one he went
Randy Rosario worked out fine. But I don't think you wanted to, given the way that game was and the way they kept coming back, and you just want to get the hell out of there. I totally understood the mindset of wanting to bring him back.
See, why? Because you have so much trust in Strop because he's so valuable to you. So you wanted him in the game on the mound.
Yeah.
If he has that much value to you, then you shouldn't expose him to unnecessary risk.
Yeah, and again, he was trying to run out a ground ball and nearly beat it. And maybe if he hadn't pulled up lame with the hammy, he would have.
I just feel like at that point in the game, as we talked about earlier, you had been sort of in questioning decisions along the way, and you had put yourself in second-guess mode all day, starting with pulling Mike Montgomery out after four innings, and you're like, this is really an overmanaging at its best or its worst. And I think it was Joe Maddon's poorest day of the season that I can remember.
And you're not alone in that belief. I mean, I don't believe that I was defending Joe to open the show, but I was trying to be a little more logical about it. And I am getting absolutely destroyed by our texters because nobody believes that. Everybody is seeing the same thing from Joe. They're seeing the worst of Joe in that game, the Joe that, you know, gets you into game 7 of a World Series and is
overmanaging,
overthinking everything, yeah, and overmanaging every decision.
And pinch hitting You know, Wilson Contreras for a guy named Victor Caratini who has 7 runs batted in the last 5 games.
And I don't believe that he's showing off. I don't believe that's what it is. I think he, you know, it's National League Baseball, baby. I think he believes he's, you know, pushing all the right buttons. It's just, you know, sometimes Dean Smith, let the kids play the game.
Look, Molly, a couple of weeks ago, when all that discussion about Bob Nightingale and the postseason, you know, impasse the Cubs may be facing with Joe Maddon and the contract and all this stuff, I wrote it then. We talked about it, and I believe it. Now, you're not going to get a much better manager. I think Joe Madden's a terrific manager. I think he's one of the best in baseball. I'm a supporter of Joe Maddon. But in saying that, you can also be objective enough to recognize when he has a really bad day. And yesterday was a really bad day.
312-644-6767. Benton is in Crestwood. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, Benton.
Yeah, I you know, from Caratini being pitched at 4, I was like, I couldn't believe he did that. And then at the end of the game, after Stroop already threw an inning in the third or an inning in two-thirds, he's leaving him in there to bat. It's like, oh, my goodness. And then when he pulled his hamstring, I'm sorry. I don't know why you guys are so high on Madden. He lost the game, lost the year.
Well, he lost the game, and I don't know if he lost the year, but he also, you know, he's won a lot. That's why you're high on him. He's won enough to put the Cubs in 3 straight NLCSs. That's why you're high on him.
I don't know that we're high on him. I think you're being pretty critical of him. I thought there was a mistake. I think you're right. When you trace it back, they took Mike Montgomery out of the game very early, and you don't know why. Now that they know why, there must have been a reason. It wasn't just itchy trigger finger. Guess I got to make a move. I really want to use everybody.
You're giving up 3 hits, Molly.
Three hits. I just think that I think when Joe does something, there's usually a reason. I'm not defending what the reason is. And again, I understood him looking at the bullpen and saying, Stropey's got to close this thing out. We can end this thing and get the hell out of here. What I don't understand, I even understand giving him the bat so you can ensure that. What I don't understand is not instructing him, you know, no hit and run. Just don't worry about it.
That's a good point.
You know, you don't have to. And if you just stand there with the bat on your shoulder, you're not getting into a double play. You're you know, living to pitch in to play another day. And maybe you're giving up an out. But
you know what
I
didn't understand?
You didn't need a run, so give up an out.
You know what I didn't get? Carl Edwards Jr. putting him in there.
That's
where you were.
That's a legitimate.
From watching this game.
He came in and he got 2 outs. I understand leaving him out there, and then it all went pear-shaped on him. And
didn't you just tell us a couple days ago, Joe, you didn't know where his head was at? And now you're going to tell him to protect the lead?
I got to tell you.
No.
I mean, you can't sit here and defend the guy given what happened. But they did win the game.
Oh, yeah, by the way, they did. That's right.
It was a game that as long as they made the trip, they needed to win.
Cubs survived Nationals, Joe Maddon. That's the headline.
All right. Okay. At least we have a headline. We're going to head out to Vegas next. We'll tell you who's going to win the big games this week. We'll discuss how good some of these games are and how easy it is to figure them out. We'll do that next with our man in Vegas,
Sam Pajniatovich.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sam Pajniatovich.
Baby, you are so money.
Host at the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
They're going to give Daddy the Rain Man suite. You dig that? We're going to Vegas, Mike.
Vegas! Chicago guy living the dream in Vegas.
You think we get there by midnight?
Money, we're going to be up 500 by midnight.
Yeah! Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
Merck.
Your money, you know what else? You're a big winner.
Sam Pajniatovich.
This is the guy behind the guy behind the guy.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I've got my car and my ride and my wheels.
When I go to Vegas.
Mully and Haw, let's bring in Sam Pajniatovich, VSiN host, Vegas Sports and Information Network. And Sam, a lot of fun, a lot of good stuff, some great games this weekend. I'm very pumped up to see what happens with the Jags and the Patriots, believe it or not. That should be a fun one. I just say that so Kevin can play his Duval.
Morning, Sam.
Morning, guys. And Molly, yeah, you did say the Bills were bad. Did you know they were this bad? Whew, they were terrible last week. Buffalo Bills were awful.
God, they're making a quarterback change. That's how bad they were. They're going to try to employ a quarterback.
Hey, Sam, before we get to NFL and college games this weekend, let's take a look at the Cubs because it's a lot of stuff going on with them. You know, coming down the stretch, the Brewer series, the Strope injury. What's the new information? Their win total close at 94. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so they're 85-61, David. 16 left to go. They have to go 10-6 to go over that win total of 94. Vegas, though, still doesn't seem to be panicking about the bullpen, which I find a little strange because it was the strength of their bullpen at 16, headed by Aroldis Chapman. That's pretty much why they got to the World Series and then why they won the World Series, because they had so many arms in that bullpen. And without Strope now, Brandon Morrow's coming back. He hasn't pitched all that much. He hasn't pitched since July. So the bullpen, to me, is all of a sudden a huge question mark. But Vegas still isn't panicking on the Cubs, still favored to win the NL Central. Minus 225, so you have to lay 225 to win 100. Brewers are plus 175, and then the Cardinals are 9-1. So Cubs are still favored to win the Central, and they're still co-favorites to win the National League pennant, but it's not the Dodgers anymore. The Cubs and the Atlanta Braves are now co-favorites to win the National League.
Wow, that's very curious to me. How are the Brewers? Were they even looked at?
Brewers are 5-1, so the Cubs and the Braves are plus 300, the Dodgers are plus 350, and the Brewers are $5. So you bet 100 on the Brewers to win the pennant, and they make it work, you win 500.
And we talked about the White Sox and their win total, and boy, the gut punch of the Kopech injury seemed to really curtail their winning ways. They went through a 7-game losing streak, and I don't know. Has any of that changed? Do you still need a pretty good finish here to get to that, what was it, 66.5?
Yeah, open 66.5. Ironically enough, they need the same record as the Cubs to go over their win total. Cubs need to go 10-6 to go over theirs. White Sox need to go 10-6. I think the former is a little bit more realistic than the latter right now. And we talked about this literally a week ago. Sox were 56-84. But then remember, later on that day, they called, announced the news about Kopech, and that was pretty much a needle in the balloon, guys. They're 1-5 since then, and I've talked to a couple of the beat writers and a couple guys on the team, and that place is just crushed right now. That clubhouse is crushed because the future of their rotation is now on the shelf this year, next year, and it's been a deflating place to come to work every day, and I don't think they're going to go 10-6 their last 16. They have the Indians 6 times and the Cubs 3 times. Good luck with that.
Monday Night Football here at Soldier Field. Sam, the Seahawks come to town. It's not a very good Seahawks team. They have a lot of weaknesses the Bears can take advantage of. At the same time, it's still the Bears. You never know. Young quarterback, developing team, great defense, but you're not sure what you have on offense yet. How do you see this one?
Yeah, the question for me, David, is are the Bears more the team that jumped ahead in Green Bay, or are they more the team that fell behind? And I'm a little more glass half full. Because I think you really take a step back, the best quarterback maybe ever had to come back and beat them, right? They're up 20-0. I give them the benefit of the doubt here. I look at some of these numbers I found last season for the Bears. In 8 home games, they allowed the 3rd fewest touchdown passes, 6 touchdown passes in 8 games. Only 6. They didn't allow much for fantasy for quarterbacks, too. That was without Khalil Mack and without Roquan Smith. And this Seattle offensive line, David, to me, it's the ultimate red flag. And not to mention Russell Wilson holds on to the football more than almost anybody else in the league as well. So when he tries to extend and make plays with his legs, that's fine. But when he rolls out and he sees Leonard Floyd on one end or he sees Khalil Mack on the other, I find it to be a long day for Russell Wilson. And the sportsbooks actually agree. Bears opened up minus 3, moved right away to 3.5. I'm not high on Seattle. I think they're a bottom 4 team in the league this year. And Russell Wilson is not Aaron Rodgers. He can make a lot of plays, but he's not going to pick you apart down the field with his receivers. And I think we're putting a little bit too much stock into how good Aaron Rodgers is and has been over the years. That was an all-time comeback by an all-time great. And I think the Bears are more the team that got ahead early with a really good defense than they are the one that fell behind.
I hate the hook, though. I hate that they added the hook to that. I feel confident the Bears can cover 3, but the hook bothers me.
I don't want to lay 3.5, Molly. Honestly, I want to take the under in this game because you look at where this thing opened up. It's really interesting. Bears and Packers, 24-23. They scored 47. Seahawks and Broncos scored even more. They scored 51. So you look at where this total opened up. They opened it in Vegas at 43.5. That looks low. It feels low, right? guess what? It's being bet even lower now. You've got some 42.5s on the board. So even with a low total with two teams that played in relatively high-scoring games last week, it looks really easy to take the over here. But Vegas always knows what they're doing. These chandeliers don't build themselves. This line was set low. It's going lower. I think this is going to be a game. This could be like 23-17 either way. I like the under more than I like a side.
Sam, you mentioned Aaron Rodgers. We don't know how bad his knee is injured. He says he's going to play. We'll wait and see. That was a bad injury. You saw him in a lot of pain. One of the best NFL games this weekend is Vikings-Packers, but his status remains sort of murky, and that's affecting the way bettors are looking at this, isn't it?
Yeah, not only that, David, not how they're looking at it, but also the line. You can't walk into a casino and bet this right now. It's currently off the board. They opened it up. Green Bay opened up -2 at one of the casinos here, the Westgate Superbook. And within probably 60 minutes or less, it swung all the way through zero. It moved 4 points in total. Minnesota got to -2, and then the Golden Nugget took another $10,000 bet on the Vikings. So it was all Vikings. At that point, the bookmakers were like, all right, that's enough. We're taking this off the board. So there is no line right now in Las Vegas. But I do find it interesting. The Westgate Super Contest, they have to put their lines up on Wednesday. Without a line being on the board across town, they threw up Minnesota -7 for their contest, which tells me that they're guesstimating that Aaron Rodgers might not even play. So we're talking about a line that opened up Green Bay -2 with the assumption that Rodgers might go. If he doesn't go, the Vikings are -7, which means he is worth almost 10 points to the point spread if he doesn't go. We probably won't even know, guys, until Sunday morning if he goes or not. But currently in Vegas, can't even bet Packers and Vikings because we don't know about 12.
Your favorite college picks this weekend?
Oh, got to go Purdue. Plug your nose, Molly. You got to plug it and play it. They're 0-2. Nobody wants a piece of them, baby. Nobody wants to take Purdue. Now, remember, they lost a really close game to Northwestern. They lost by a field goal to Eastern Michigan. So the perception on Purdue, they suck, right? They've been in two close games. And now, after being -3, and -14, you can get Purdue at home with their season on the line. David, you play college football. You go 0-2. The third game better be your best effort. It better be your tightest. It's a must-win spot for Purdue. So they don't have to win. All they have to do is cover the 7 against Missouri. It's actually down to 6.5 now. I play at anything under 6. I think Purdue's going to win this game outright. But I want all those points in West Lafayette. Third home game in a row, and nobody else wants to take them. I'm going to jump right in.
Purdue Pete.
Yeah, that's interesting, Purdue, because their defense wasn't that bad and wasn't supposed to be that bad. But I was at that Northwestern game, so I saw Northwestern's loss to Duke, and then I came home and I saw what happened to Purdue, and I thought, wow, so much for Northwestern in week one.
Sam's a big Northwestern guy, right, Sam?
I'm a big Northwestern fan. Yeah, meow. I was actually. I was thinking long and hard about this one, too, guys. Ohio State and TCU. I go with my gut when I get spots like this. Anything under 14, I'm going to lay this, too, because I think the talent drop-off between Ohio State and TCU, it hasn't been this massive in a long time. When you think of TCU, people always want to jump to TCU and take the points because they've got a really good coach in Gary Patterson, but they're going with a sophomore quarterback this season, Robinson, who has never seen a defense like this. You're talking about an Ohio State defense that has four first-round guys on the defense. They're going to have four guys in the NFL next year in the first round. Offensively, they got some weapons here. Why does 42-17 sound good to me? I'm not scared to go on the road. I know Urban Meyer's not calling plays on game day, but let's be real. He's been with them all week in practice. This offense is very good, and I think the Buckeyes have the second best roster as far as talent goes in the country. I think Alabama's 1, Ohio State is 2, Clemson is 3, so I have no issue laying anything under 14. I like Ohio State big this weekend.
Sam, thank you. Great catching up.
Thanks, Sam. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care.
Sam Panayotovic, VSiN host. Gosh, I mean, that's fun stuff to talk about and think about. I got to tell you, I love the Vikings in that game.
That's fascinating,
And I
though.
Love the Vikings.
The unknown of
whether
Rodgers.
Whether Rodgers plays or not.
I do, too.
Because it's probably a point, you know, 2 points. I don't know.
Maybe I'm way out of line there, Joe.
I was shocked that the Westgate took that stand, and they just said that we don't think Rodgers is going to play, so we're going to make the Vikings 7-point favorites. And, Molly, what you said about the Bears game, we're going to give our picks later on at 8:40, but I feel the exact same way. Beginning of the week, I was all over the Bears, and as we get closer and closer, then they add the hook at about half the books. Like, I don't know.
Does Vegas, how do they set the line? They set it on how people are going to play it, and they're begging you. In my opinion, hey, we can get an extra half a point off these slouches.
The Bears are a public team this week.
That's right.
It's not.
Go Bears!
Scoreboard update.
It usually doesn't work out.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Peter Gammons, MLB Network Analyst.
Around the pole and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the score. Peter Gammons is in town. How about that? Leaving town, actually. Peter's at the airport. MLB Network and The Athletic. Hey, Peter, how are you?
Hey, Peter.
I'm doing really well. Now, we had a wonderful event for The Athletic last night. It was a lot of fun. Ken Rosenthal and I had a ball doing it. It's really fun. I've been doing television for 30 years, but I still maintain that I'm an insane wretch. I'm still a newspaper man, and the opportunity that's come, anything that's good for writers is good for us. So it was a great event.
If you're an ink-stained wretch, that ink is indelible. I think we've learned that over the years, both David and I. Peter, the Cubs played a game yesterday, and I got to tell you, it's not every day where they play the extra game or they got to travel and they aren't thrilled about it and they win the game, and yet we come in and everybody is just murdering Joe Maddon over it. They started talking about Game 7 of the World Series all over again. And I think it just comes down to losing the closer, Pedro Strop pulling up with a hamstring. How damaging is that at this point, given Morrow's injury? And did Joe err in having him hit and run, not necessarily hit?
I know that, pitchers are supposed to be able to do it and all that, and it's fine, but at this time of year, with Brandon Morrow out, I think risks are tough to take. I mean, I was writing this week about Stephen Wright and the Red Sox, and on August 2nd of 2016, Stephen Wright had just been in the All-Star game. He was, I believe, 13-6 in the top 5 or 8 in earned run average, and John Farrell had him pinch run for David Ortiz, because he said, well, Ortiz had to play in the field in Los Angeles, and he didn't want him to be on his legs too much. Well, Stephen Wright he was getting picked off at second base, dove, hurt his shoulder, and then while rehabbing the next spring, hurt his knee, and he's just now throwing like 5 appearances in the month of September. He's going to be an important guy in the postseason. But, I mean, if guys aren't playing positions and aren't hitting and running, I just think that there is a real chance you take, especially where your regular closer is already out. I mean, I actually watched some of those innings, late innings, because I was early. I flew in yesterday, and I was early to the place where the function was being held, and I was watching the game with some Cubs fans, and when Edwards came in, I listened to a few choice words, and then just the way it came down. I know, I get it. I always say that Roger Angel used to say that Red Sox fans lived under a Calvinistic cloud of self-doubt. I think that's what makes the Red Sox and Cubs so much alike. That they really are all by nature.
So, Peter, you were there. You watched the game with Cubs fans. You know how difficult of a week it's been for the Cubs and what they've gone through and all their travel and all, now this. Can they still accomplish what they want to accomplish if they're down to their third closer, if they are a team that's physically and mentally fatigued? Do you still believe the Cubs can emerge, first of all, get to the playoffs, and second of all, once they get there, stay there?
I think they can. I mean, I think it's more difficult. But I tell you what's so confusing is, I can't figure out who in the world has any chance to live in the National League. I mean, I've come to the conclusion this morning. Now, tomorrow will be a different conclusion. But this morning I say, I think Colorado is going to end up in the World Series. And that's how crazy it is. But the Cubs have a tough schedule. I mean, they got to go to Arizona. There are some tough moments in this thing with the Cardinals this weekend. So it will be very interesting to see exactly where they end up. I think everybody's sort of on the same play, whereas in the American League, there's this build-up to essentially five very interesting teams, and the A's are really interesting because they'll use nine pitchers in the play-in game. And I'm not sure anybody would beat them in the play-in game in the American League. But, I think Houston can win. I think Cleveland can win. I think Boston can win. I think even the Yankees can win. But in the National League, I have no idea. I mean, I'm beginning to think that one of the biggest mistakes of the year was when the Washington Nationals decided to cash it in late July, just because they might have ended up winning this thing.
You're listening to the Mully and Haw Show. This segment of our show brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. We are talking to Peter Gammons. And, you know, Peter, the Kopech injury on the south side, the White Sox thought they had the rotation of the future all set, and there was a great vibe around the team, and now they go through a seven-game losing streak, and they managed to stop it. But it's a real gut punch, I think, for the fans, for the rebuild, for everything that's going on with that organization. And, you know, I don't know that they can go out and try to get, I don't know if anybody wants to come here for their money. I don't know if they want to spend the money, but it's clear that they need to do something to sort of generate more interest for next year. Do you expect them to be players in the offseason? Are they going to be patient with what they're doing? I think it just was a real blow.
I think what they have to do is not necessarily go out and try to sign Bryce Harper or Manny Machado, but do really wisely and fill a lot of positions and build the depth of that team. I mean, it's one of the things that made Pat Gillick one of the three, four greatest general managers in history was his ability to understand the 25-man roster. Now, I look at the White Sox and I say, okay, in a year from now, by June or so, you know, they're going to have him and Jimenez playing. Basabe may be up and playing. They'll have, you know, they move some young players in. Then, you know, the big thing I think is going to be, okay, you know, to have veteran players around that can get some on base and protect the young players and get Dylan Cease up and maybe one or two other pitchers and do it with a 25-man roster, not just have to rely on the Moncadas and guys like that. You still don't know are really good players. And I think that they can do it without breaking the bank, but I think it's really important to do it right. And I think that's the way they have to do it. Just get a lot of really interesting role players and see where they go with that.
Peter, you know that because the Cubs keep telling us that they've played 30 games or scheduled games in 30 days, and they're in the midst of that really grueling stretch. And it is real. And I think you do see, you know, some signs of physical fatigue and mental fatigue. Okay. Did MLB do the Cubs a disservice by refusing to move the game yesterday to October 1st? Because even after the game, Mike Montgomery was one of the players who mentioned that, you know, they're linking that with what happened to Strope, and they're obviously still kind of upset about what happened. But did MLB do it right, or did they get it wrong?
Well, considering the fact that the games had to be called off in Washington, not in Chicago, I thought that they should have waited until I realize there's a jam up at the end with all the teams in the National League who could make the playoffs, but I thought it was asking too much. I really do. Now, you know, I don't really get it. I thought MLB was short-sighted on this. And, you know, I do think, and you know, I'll buy the stroke. I mean, I really hadn't thought about that, but I'll buy that. I mean, I think the guys are so tired. And I think that forcing them going back and forth, rain delays, and all what they've been through for this 30-day stretch, I think you do risk injury. And I think that that's something MLB has to think about. And what it costs teams not only in performance, but in payroll. I mean, the amount of money of guys on the disabled list is significant. And I don't know, I just, I could not, honestly, I couldn't believe it when I heard that the Cubs had to turn around and go back to Washington.
I mean,
Washington's out of it. It doesn't mean anything to them, but it does mean something to the Cubs. And I think it altered the pennant race in a way that I don't think MLB should be altering the pennant race.
Peter, great stuff. We'll let you go. Thank you so much for jumping on, and have a great weekend.
Safe travels.
You too. Thanks a lot. Okay.
That is Peter Gammons, and wow, a lot of good stuff there. He agrees that made no sense to have. Again, I understand.
You get a sense that's exactly how the Cubs feel.
Well, I mean, I get a sense everybody who watched the game feels the same way. I don't think we have a problem with the idea that he didn't trust the bullpen and he wanted the guy to go into the 10th inning and close the game out. I don't think anyone had a problem with that. But when his turn at bat came, the idea of him being involved in that play, just have him stand there with a bat on his shoulder. And I don't know how easy or how hard it is to tell someone that, but that guy hasn't hit in the fifth of forever, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he would listen if you told him, here, you know, you stand there and this thing is, you know, we're going to sew it into your shirt.
And his belief that MLB's decision to send the Cubs to Washington affected the pennant race potentially.
Well, there you go.
In a negative way. And also the Cubs can look at this and say, well, we won the game, but we were affected by losing our closer. That you wonder if that's the way the Cubs are feeling and talking this morning as well.
I really thought that we needed something like a 20-foot python.
That's when he's with the magic show quote.
A magician?
Yeah.
Or break dancer.
That was it.
Tastes good.
Molly and Hall. We got Biggs time next on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.